What does it again teach?
What does it mean to be a friend of God?
Okay, thank you. I asked for all of you guys, okay? Hey, Jenny, I'm wondering if you would give us an update on Sharon and Don. Last Sunday, we prayed for them. We heard the news about the motorcycle accident. Would you just let us know what's going on?
By the grace of God, our son-in-law and Sharon Kay's lives were spared. The police that came to see Sharon even told her that because of the way Don maneuvered the bike, it saved her life. In the accident, Don did lose his leg, and it's going along good. We've seen prayers answered, a myriad of miracles. It's hard to tell. There is a page, if you want to, if you're on Facebook, go to Don and Sharon's Recovery Journal, and every day there's an update. And the prayers, we've just appreciated all so much. It's encouraging to them and to us. He will go in Monday for his fourth surgery to prepare his leg for a prosthetic, which he will receive in 3 months.
Wow.
So it's tragic,
sure.
But it's also, it has made us realize how much God is on the scene and his mercies are new every morning.
Amen. Thank you. Well, it's, yes, Andy?
That's something I've got to share.
All right.
Hey, the Lord's just put it on my heart really strong that there's somebody here that is struggling with the loss of their salvation. And I'm here to tell you that if you have accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you have been redeemed with the blood of the Lamb and not with corruptible things like silver and gold. Your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. And since you did nothing to earn your salvation, there's nothing you can do to lose your salvation. And do not confuse sin in your life and the call of holiness to holiness on your life with the loss of your salvation. It's a different subject. Answer the call to holiness, but be secure in your relationship with Jesus.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Andy. Amen. Does not wash off. That's right. That's right. I'm going to give you an opportunity this morning. If you'd like to give a testimony about your mom or a remembrance of some kind, just give you an opportunity. They may be here, they may not be here, but give you an opportunity.
I just want to thank my mom and thank the Lord. I said that today on Facebook that there's a lot of my friends that don't have their mother or father, and I'm blessed with both. And I thank that. And I'm glad she never did any drugs. And again, I'm blessed to have her, and thank you for all the encouragement that you give us each day. Thank you.
Amen. Anyone else?
Last year, when the microphone was passed around, I didn't want to say anything because I had a lot of resentment towards my mother, and I didn't have anything nice to say. And then not too long after Mother's Day last year, I was up at the church because I really just didn't have much else to do. And I think I might have been polishing the brass or something for Dad. And I was playing some worship music, and a song came on called Our God by Chris Tomlin. And there's a line in there that says, Our God is healer. And when I heard that line, I just felt like, I know God's our healer, but there's something about hearing that line at that moment. And then I saw a picture of myself on Mother's Day again, and this time I took the microphone and I had something to share from the heart about my mom. So now here's my chance to do that. My mother is a very broken person. I'm not trying to speak dirty laundry. I've got a point for this. She became pregnant with her first child when she was 17 because she had a very messed up life. And she wanted to have kids because she wanted to have someone to love her. And that's not the way that it worked out. And it wasn't until many years later, when I went off to college, that my mom felt really alone because she didn't have me anymore. And so then she started reading the Bible. She would read the Bible for 16 hours a day. And she really got into the Word, and she understood the love of God. And that's what she needed her entire life. And I'm thankful to God for loving my mother in a way that no human being can. And I'm thankful to God because we're all broken, like my mother is. And I thank Him for filling in those voids that no one else can. Because we were singing that song, like how God meets us where we are, and He's the lifter of the lowly. And I thank God for doing that for her and for all of us.
Amen. Thank you. Anyone else?
I tried to get Greg to do it, but he wouldn't. So here I am to see my mom. No, I know. Anyway, just kidding, Mom. But it is true.
Good old brother and sisters just throwing each other under the bus there. That's just the way it goes, Greg.
Well, of course, you guys know I love my mom, and I do feel very blessed to have had my mom and our relationship, because we're very close. And I even think back to the college days, back when we didn't have cell phones. I was away, and I still talk to my mom every day of college, and that's how it's been. And I'm blessed, you know. Not everybody has this opportunity, and so I know it's an honor. And as the years continue to go, you know, things start changing when your parents get a little riper. That riper, I don't want to say old, but you have an opportunity to start paying them back for all they've done for you. And we had our Mother's Day celebration at our house last night, and my card to my mom was, and I wanted her to know, it's an honor to do these things for you. You know, she's complained some, I hate y'all have to take me to this doctor, that doctor, blah, blah, blah. And, you know, just the things we've done, you know, the past few years. But it's an honor for Gregory and I to be able to do this, because you have done so much and put so much into our lives. We're blessed to be able to start putting it back into your life. So we love you, Mom.
Try to get through this. It won't be long, but my mom's with Jesus, which that's a great place to be, but we still, you know, miss her, love her, and I'm thankful for her. I'm thankful for the family that I have, that God blessed me with, and I just want to say I love her, and I do miss her.
Amen. Yep. Sybil was a sweetie.
I just want to thank my grandmother. Today's kind of a hard day for me because I don't really have the best relationship with my own mom. And, you know, my kids don't really have a good relationship with their mom right now. And it was just really hard because I was looking on Aiden's face and I could just tell he was really missing his mom. And, you know, and I look at the relationship that Aiden has with my grandmother, and it's really special. It's a relationship that I had with her as a kid. And you know, there were times I would call her when I was like really messed up on drugs and stuff, and she would still just love me and speak life into me. And that's the type of person that she is. And her and my grandfather, you know, they've been through so much, and they're really the rock of our family. And I'm really appreciative of who she is as a person. And I really love her, and I just want to tell you that because sometimes I might not tell you enough. But you are the definition of someone that is just completely surrendered to God. And you have such a powerful testimony, and I love you for that, and thank you very much.
Amen. Thank you. Anyone else? Okay. All right. Well, did I see another hand go up? Okay. I'd like to really thank our youth for doing such a good job last week. It was awesome what y'all did, and thank y'all. I know some of y'all were real nervous and everything. Dylan, you had all our jaws dropped when you talked so much. It was just, it was great, man. We didn't know it was in you, but we really appreciate it. It was very good what all of y'all did. So, this morning, I want to, of course, share a Mother's Day message with you. And I was reading this passage in 2 Corinthians, and it just, reading it, it just kind of reminded me of moms. You know, Paul birthed that church there in Corinth, and it was a church with some issues. And so Paul, you know, addressed those things, and in this, the second writing to the Corinthians, he says this in 2 Corinthians 2:14. He said, "Now thanks be to God, who always leads us in triumph in Christ and through us diffuses the fragrance of his knowledge in every place. For we are to God the fragrance of Christ among those who are being saved and among those who are perishing. To the one we are the aroma of death, leading to death, and to the other the aroma of life, leading to life. And who is sufficient for these things? For we are not, as so many, peddling the word of God, but as of sincerity. But as from God, we speak in the sight of God in Christ. Do we begin again to commend ourselves, or do we need, as some others, epistles of commendation to you, or letters of commendation from you? You are our epistle, written in our hearts, known and read by all men. Clearly, you are an epistle of Christ ministered by us, written not with ink, but by the Spirit of the living God, not on tables of stone, but on tablets of flesh, that is, of the heart." So Paul is kind of, you know, addressed this church at Corinth and dealt with many issues. They were what you would call a carnal church, which means they weren't very spiritual. They were very immature in many ways. They were a divided church. Paul said, it's reported to me by the house of Chloe that there are many divisions among you. Paul was the kind of guy, if you told him something, he wasn't going to cover you. He was going to say, "Chloe said you that there's a problem here." And so they would say, you know, "I'm a Paul. I follow Paul. I'm of Apollos. I like this guy. I like that one." And some others were saying, "I've just followed Christ." And so there were these divisions. It wasn't a unifying thing. It was a dividing thing. And there were many doctrinal errors in the church there. We know when Paul was talking about and giving instructions concerning the Lord's Supper, that many of them were not taking it in honor of what Christ really meant. And he said, "For this reason, many are sick among you." And so they had a lot of issues. And I was thinking as I was reading that portion of that letter that just reminded me so much of a mother, how Paul dealt with the issues that were there. And moms kind of do the same things. You know, they deal with kids that are carnal. They're certainly not spiritual when they are first coming up. They're immature. They, especially little boys, they can get down into the base area of things, you know, the lowest common denominator. And many times kids in the same household are divided. You know, there's a commercial on. I don't even know what the commercial's for, but it shows a mom in the car and the two kids are in the back or they're in the house or something. But the girl says to the mom, "Johnny is breathing on me again," you know, just a complaint. You know, kids are always, they kind of pick at each other. You know, especially if the boy is younger and the girl is older and she's starting to date, the boys like to get in there and kind of mess things up. And so there are different things. with these age differences, you know, older brothers or sisters don't like the younger ones hanging around and tell them to get out of my room and we don't want to play with them. And I see the Lawrence kids looking around there. It must be hitting. It happens in every family. And Paul had to bring correction, and moms have to bring correction. And, you know, when report cards show up and their moms are constantly having to seize moments to bring instruction. And just last week, I went on a little golf outing, and one of my good friends, I don't even know how we got to talking about this, but he was sharing with me that he almost burned down his dad's garage. He got some matches and some gas, and those two together are not a good combination, and something went on fire, and it was going to burn his hand, and he slung it, and now gas and fire is kind of going everywhere, and he can just see his dad's garage going down. This is Steve Moberg, by the way. And so he runs in the house. He runs in the house. He runs by mom. Mom, where's the fire extinguisher? And she says, it's in there. Why? And he just goes in. What's going on? What have you done now? And he gets the fire out and goes, your dad is going to have to hear about this when he gets home. And so we were just laughing at this way that Steve told this story last week. But we all have these kind of moments that happen. And moms seem to be the first one, the first responder, let's say, in those situations. And so Paul is addressing a church, and a church with many issues. And he has to be kind of direct. And he rebukes them in some way, and some of it sounds a little bit harsh. And that is met with mixed reactions from the people at the church. Some people repent, and some people resist. And the resistors begin to speak against Paul, and they begin to undermine what Paul is doing, and they begin to say Paul's not really an apostle. He's just self-proclaimed, and they challenge him. And moms deal with the same things. When moms give corrections, some of our kids repent and some of them resist. And I see some teenagers pointing at others like, you're a resistor. You know, have you ever asked this thing as a yourself as a parent? How can two of us produce kids that are so different? Yeah. I have two daughters, and one kind of moves in the repentant realm, and one moves in the resistant realm. And, you know, everybody's got to make their own decisions, but just like the Apostle Paul dealing with resistors and those that were repenting at the same time, that's the job of a mom. And moms get these just like Paul. If, you know, they didn't receive what Paul said, they presented challenges. And kids have a way of doing that, don't they? They either say, yes, I agree with you, Mom, or they're going to challenge. And those challenges can be interesting. You ever been challenged by a five-year-old? I mean, it's like, some of them are just like, you know, and you're like, you're five. You don't know nothing, man. They're just, come on. But that's the way it goes. And Paul, you know, in ministry, he met these challenges. He met them head on. The ministry puts a target on your back, a target, of course, from the enemy. I like to call it the fishbowl effect. Your life is kind of on display, and if you've ever gone to an aquarium, people just stand there and stare, and when you're in ministry, you're that way. And ministry is also, as a minister, you can be a lightning rod for people's frustration. they're going through things in life, and you happen to be someone that represents God, and they might be mad at God, and they will say things to you, and you become a lightning rod. And moms have similar challenges. They kind of have targets on their backs as well. They are lightning rods as well. When kids are at school and something happens, and maybe the teacher embarrassed them or something happened, and the kids got all this pent-up emotion, and they come home, and when mom sees them, they either burst into tears or they're off the charts emotionally. The mom has just become the lightning rod for the things that happened around them. A friend can betray them, or a first love can break their heart, and moms can be that lightning rod. And of course, the moms have challenges from the enemy. Satan is working overtime against moms. Sometimes Satan works in the form of your child's best friend. The little devil has become friends with your little angel, and you have to deal with those things as well. I know when our kids were coming up, we wanted the neighborhood kids at our house. We could kind of keep an eye on things that way. And so not only are you dealing with your own little angels, now you got all the other little angels coming over, and the more of these little angels you have together, the bigger mess they can make, and the more requirements they have, and the more mess and things that have to happen. But moms somehow work through that, and moms, we appreciate that. Sometimes us dads, we can overreact. Is this true? And mom has to kind of bring everybody back together. And some of y'all are laughing, but moms have a way of doing that. And we appreciate that. Moms today not only have all of those challenges, but they have a challenge that is kind of, I don't know, it's sad, really. At least, you know, when I was coming up, there was prayer in schools. It may not have been a godly situation, but there was a fear of God in the culture. Now it's anti-God in the culture. And so moms are dealing with all those things in a culture that their kids go to school and they are being very much influenced in a way that is ungodly. And moms constantly have to deal with that kind of thing. And how do they do that? Even disciplining, in today's world. Now, when I was coming up, my dad would use a belt on my little hiney, and I have disciplined my child. But in today's world, it's a little bit difficult. And we all know of where child protective services have been called. And so moms are constantly having to deal with those kinds of things. And then there's the technology that kids have today. And most moms don't know near as much as their kids when it comes to the devices and the things that are happening. So mom's got antennas up, and they're trying to figure out what are the boundaries I need to put here, and those struggles. You're walking through those struggles, and they're not easy. And I'm not here to tell you what the answer is, but I know it's in the mom's heart to protect their little ones. And how do we insulate them from the world? Not isolate them, but insulate them and give them the tools they need to walk in this world. And also want to also commend grandmothers. Grandmothers are a big part of that, and especially in today's world. I know that, we had custody of four of different of our grandkids. And so you get to do all the things that a parent does without the benefit of the energy that you once had. And you're either less familiar with the technology than your child is that's supposed to be raising this kid. And in addition to that, you may be caring for an elderly parent. I think of my bride here, being a good grandma, but also a mom figure while she's taking care of her mom and her two cats. And there are many challenges there. And so moms, grandmoms, you are juggling a lot of things. And so this, what Paul had to say here, I want to try to encourage you this morning, because Paul had many distractors, and parents, moms and grandmas, you have many distractors. You have many people and many influences that are trying to undermine you. And moms, you are under attack. You are devalued in this world. This world would say you should get a career and take care of yourself and pay somebody to take care of your kids. Make something of yourself. Well, let me tell you, if you're a full-time mom, you're making something of yourself. The pay is low, but and the work is hard, but your reward is coming. And so, you know, Paul's distractors, he met them head on in 2 Corinthians 1:1. He said, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God. Resisters were saying, he's self-proclaimed, and Paul said, I'm an apostle by the will of God. And moms, grandmas, you are that by the will of God. Hallelujah. God created moms. Never, and I hardly ever use the word never, but never shy away from the calling of being a mom. It is a difficult calling, but it is a high calling. And so Paul, in his defense, in those few verses I read, I see the heart of a successful mom in Paul's defense. And I'm going to substitute the word mom where Paul was talking about his own personal defense. And I'll just read some of these. Moms diffuse the fragrance of his knowledge in every place. To the one, moms are the aroma of death, leading to death. To the other, moms are the aroma of life, leading to life. Moms are not peddling, but they do it with sincerity. As from God, moms speak in the sight of God. Do moms begin to commend themselves? Kids are the epistle written on their mother's hearts. Known and read by all men, written not with ink, but by the Spirit in a mother's heart. So I'm going to take those, diffusing the fragrance of his knowledge in every place. Paul said, and through us, diffuses the fragrance of his knowledge in every place. When I read this, of course, my wife is into these essential oils, and we have one of these machines. We have several of these machines, and they mist. This vapor comes out, and it produces this aroma. And these essential oil people are convinced that it does some good things, and it might. I just know it puts out a fragrance and a mist. And moms, you have that effect on your kids. You are maybe unseen and unheard, but there's a fragrance that moms have. And you may have an unseen presence, but kids are aware and they can hear mom in their head when they're getting ready to do something. And their little voice might be saying, Mom will kill me if I do this. And it's in every place. It's at home, it's at school, it's at church. I mean, I can remember my mom having to get on me in church service all the time with her elbow. Hush, hush, hush. We had to sit in the service and be quiet, and I'd color the O's and the P's and the D's and all that stuff. But you get fidgety and those kinds of things. But I can remember many times when I was a kid thinking about doing something and then thinking about mom. And sometimes one overrode the other. I didn't always get it right. And this unseen fragrance, it has power. Paul said, to one we are the aroma of death leading to death, and to the other we are the aroma of life leading to life. The joys of motherhood, you can do things without saying a word. Your influence, your this fragrance that has emitted from your life, and what you have done and how you have sought to raise your kids. And you are both executioner and lifeguard at the same time. Something happens, you might have to execute some discipline. Or something happens and you might give some encouragement when they are down. Kids can get down and you have to breathe life into them, or they can be a little bit unruly and you have to bring some death to them. You understand what I'm saying? And so many of you, your moms are not here today, but can you still hear them? Can you hear their voice? And hallelujah. President Reagan, in March the 3rd of 1983 at the National Prayer Breakfast, I just want to read a quote here. Reagan gets up and he has this Bible and he says, I have a very special old Bible, and alongside a verse in the second book of Chronicles, there are some words handwritten, very, very faded by now. And believe me, the person who wrote these words was an authority. Her name was Nellie Wilson Reagan. She was my mother. And she wrote about that verse, and in quote, a most wonderful verse for the healing of the nations. So that was in her Bible written, and now Reagan is the president, and he sees this. And he goes on, he goes, now the verse that she had marked reads, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and will heal their land. And so she wrote this years ago, and now her son's president of the United States, and he's got his mom's Bible, and he sees that. I know my mom has a Bible, and in it she has all of the birth dates of the kids, grandkids, the great-grandkids, when they were baptized, when they walked down the aisle, all the significant events. They are just in the heart of mothers. And godly moms, they do this without much income. Paul said in 17, for we are not as many peddling the word of God, but as of sincerity, but as from God we speak in the sight of God in Christ. They say that the combined skills and duties of a mom, that of doctor, a nurse, an investigator, an administrator, a coach, a chauffeur, an accountant, a CEO, a chef, a judge, a therapist, a bodyguard, a seamstress, and the list goes on, that 24/7, 365 days a year job would be well over $100,000. But moms, you're not making that. Not in this world. But God sees everything that you're doing. And you keep at it, moms. You can't defeat the sincerity of a mom. And so godly moms deserve much encouragement, but they rarely receive it. We kind of take moms for granted. Paul said, and I like to compare it to moms, do we begin again to commend ourselves? Or do we need, as some others, epistles of commendation to you or letters of commendation from you? Moms don't require a lot. And they don't commend themselves, and they don't need all these accolades. You know, there's prizes, all kinds of prizes out there. The Nobel Prize. There's 6 different Nobel Prizes for chemistry, physics, literature, medicine, economics, and peace. And it seems that moms are always into science, reading, doctoring, saving, and peace. But they don't get a Nobel Prize. There are the Academy Awards. Let me tell you, is there a better actor or director or producer than a mom? But they don't get any Academy Awards. Just this year, prior to baseball getting started, Bryce Harper was offered $300 million for his contract, and he turned it down and held out for more. It's just, you're worth more than $300 million? And he got $330 million. There's just some inequities in life. And mom, you're worth a lot more than that. But don't hold out for more. Keep doing your job, okay? We need you. We appreciate you. And we love that you don't need all the fanfare that professionals need. A mom's heart, Paul goes on, you are an epistle written in our hearts, known and read by all men. Clearly, you are an epistle of Christ, ministered by us, written not with ink, but by the Spirit of the living God. Not on tablets of stone, but on the tablets of flesh, that is, of the heart. Children's lives are written in the hearts of a mother, known and read by all men. And some of those stories are not very pretty. Some of them are good stories, but some of them are not. None of them are fiction. But some of them are mysteries, tragedies. Some of them are overcoming stories. Some of them are heroic. And moms, the stories that your children have written that is out there for all to see is really written in your heart, we know. And some of those stories may not be pretty, but don't you be ashamed of those stories. Others may not think much of the story that some of us have written, but moms, you believe in us. I mean, a mom is that special person. And while all of our lives are on display for others, they are inscribed in the heart of a mother. Moms feel our hurts, feel our pains, feel our disappointments. And that's why they are there in our time of need. Moms just have a way of eliciting emotion out of you as a child that no one else can. Even to this day, if I've got the right combination of stuff, and I've talked to all kinds of people, when I see mom, there's something that comes out that doesn't come out around others. Why is that? Because she birthed me. She was there all that time. And I know some of you moms have dealt with the death of a child or a grandchild, and that story that's written in your heart, that is now very difficult. And, you know, God put in your lives this supernatural care and nurturing that you have, and it hurts sometimes, but never shy away from it. So moms, this morning, all of us want to thank you for your love and your encouragement. We want to thank you for your prayer, for your protection, for your loyalty. Thank you for standing with us when we're not writing some very good stories sometimes. You're still there for us. Thank you for standing against demonic forces. Nothing like a prayer of a mother as she sees her child. Thank you for answering that call. And grandmas, thank you. We commend you, we thank you, and we bless you in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. Let's all stand. God, this morning, I just want to thank you for each mother here and each grandmother, great-grandmother. Lord, I pray that you would bless them. I pray, Lord, this day, Lord, that you would encourage their hearts. If there's any moms here that are at this moment in time, concerned about their children, maybe one is wandering or they're not doing as they normally do, and your mom's intuition is up and you're kind of suspicious of some things, Lord, I pray that you would give these moms the wisdom and the strength. And Lord, I pray for moms, Lord, that are doing all this without the benefit of a dad, that he might be there, but he's absentee. Lord, I pray for you to grace these moms with strength and with power and courage. In Jesus' name, I pray for any moms or grandmas, Lord, that are grieving the loss of a loved one, of a child or a grandchild or a relationship. Lord, you put a nurturing heart in moms, and they feel things that men don't feel. And Lord, I pray that you would cause them to receive the strength that only you can give, Lord. Lord, we thank you for your design of a mom and a dad, and together, Lord, they represent you. And Lord, just thank you so much for these moms, the moms of liberty. And Lord, I pray a blessing on each one of them. In the mighty name of Jesus, amen. 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 God bless you.